It is great to be here today. And you know, we're continuing our series on the book of James. So if you want to turn there to chapter one, we might even get through the whole chapter one today. And hopefully you can stay, by the way. Yes, my wife volunteered to put together some strawberry dessert. And so we'd love to have you stay and share that with us as well. Okay, James chapter one. All right, and I'm going to do this before I get going. Okay. James chapter 1, and actually starting at verse 19, where it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Today, I think I'd like to forget that myself, but anyway. "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." May the Lord bless the reading of that word and keep this tent from falling down on me. As I said back at the start of the month when we started this series, I was actually looking back on this Bible that I got, large print, and saw some of the scribbly notes that I wrote down in there. And so I was looking at a couple of those scribbly notes, and that kind of got me inspired to go through this book of James. And let me see if I can find it here. Okay. All right. We like to sit up at this little cottage that we rent up at Sable Beach every summer. So it's kind of nice to be out here in the great outdoors, even if it isn't quite beach weather. But I was especially looking at a couple little scribbly notes that I made here, first in verse 22, right? Because James says, don't listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what the word says. And I wrote down this little note: approach the word with the desire to obey. Approach the word with the desire to obey. Come to God with an attitude that says, well, you know what? With God's help, I'm going to do what I find written in here. Whatever he tells me. Remember, Mary, his mother, said that to at the wedding, right? She said that to the people that were in charge of the water pots. She said, do whatever he tells you. That's a good word for us. Approach the word with the desire to obey. And then another little note from that summer, and I wrote it down here just in case I wasn't going to be able to hold that open. Oh, it's going to open anyway. Okay. Another little note that I wrote down there: the word is like seed planted in you. So give it time to grow. Give it time to grow. It's not a sprint, this race that we're running. It's a process. And sometimes we get impatient, but God is never in a hurry. Drives us crazy sometimes, but humbly accept the word planted in you, as James says in verse 21. Now, people have all different kinds of reasons for reading the Bible, you know. Some read this book looking for sermon material. Oh, okay, that's my note to myself. Or, you know, like the pastor says we're supposed to read this, so yeah, I guess we should. Good Christians do this sort of thing. I better give it a try. Maybe we're just trying to keep up with a reading plan, right? And it's very satisfying to check off that little box that says you've completed today's reading. And there's lots of good things in that for sure. Often, however, we open this book looking for ammunition, reading our favorite passages that support our particular doctrines or way of looking at things, And we forget that people who disagree doctrinally with us, they're also using the same book. They're looking up all the verses that they agree with. And just like us, they tend to ignore, you know, the ones that don't quite fit the program, the denomination statement of faith, or all those visions and values and all those other creative lists that we come up with. And I can never express it enough. It's vitally important to be feeding ourselves on this word. Now, I read to you from verse 19 down through verse 27, and I recognize now that I'm kind of preaching here on sort of a Bible sandwich. Okay? I'm looking at those middle verses, verses 21 to 25, and then like two slices of bread, right? I'm gonna group the other two sections together, verses 19 and 20, and then verses 26 and 27. So we get back to the middle of this sandwich, and since I now have you thinking about food, I will say it again. It is vitally important. Feed ourselves on the Word of God. Do not let Sunday be the only day you open this book. I will tell you right now, you will be starving if you just depend on the likes of me to feed you out of here. I mean, I hope to give you some things you're going to take home with you, but don't just depend on me. I'm not that smart. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16. Oh, okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, it says that all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. So I want to ask you, thoroughly equipped for what? Some people would say, well, we got to be thoroughly equipped so we can refute false teachers, right? We got to know our proper doctrines. We got to be able to defend what we believe. That's why we study this book. Well, have you read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 lately? Turn there if you want. 2 Timothy, it's one of the 3:16s in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. You can jot down the reference too. Look it up later. But it says the scriptures are God-breathed. In other words, they're breathed out. It's like exhaled, okay? And it's useful. They're useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? Now, Mark, you got that? For good works, buddy. You bet. For every good work. God wants us to do good things in this world. Now, that includes gaining an understanding of correct doctrine, of course. But this isn't a gun. It's not a cannon, even though it's called the sword of the Spirit. This isn't a weapon that we point at each other. Hey, you know what this thing says? These words are to change you and me personally. Personally, they're to equip you and me for doing good in this old world of ours, to strengthen and prepare us, make us better at being the salt and the light that Jesus wants his followers to be in our generation. Like the person who looks in the mirror and doesn't do anything to maybe correct the fact, well, okay, I just looked at myself in the mirror when I went to the bathroom before the service, right? I'm looking like John Tory or Boris Johnson. I cannot wait till I can get a haircut. But we're in, you know, not going into phase two yet. So my daughter wants me to grow a man bun. She knoweth not what she asketh. Now, we're not promoting being narcissistic when you look at yourself in the mirror. No, actually, beholding in the mirror, we're actually beholding the face of Jesus in that mirror. Really, that's how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 3. I mean, we're looking at ourselves, but we're hoping that more and more of him starts looking back at us in the reflection. We start looking more like him as we contemplate, as we look in that mirror. And as we do, we begin to change. Oh, slowly, for sure, but we become transformed more and more, little by little, into his image. I remember one day a friend of mine saying to me, it doesn't seem to matter whether I read my Bible and pray or not. Every day just seems to go the same. Nothing changes whether I read my Bible or not. Everything went along in life pretty much the same. And you know, there's something very sad about that. Actually, very unsatisfying about that. You know what? I want to be different. I want things to change. Don't you? I need an encounter with the living God to know that he's walking with me, that he's very much alive and active in my day-to-day life. I don't want my Christian experience to just be a history lesson out of a textbook, even if it's the greatest book of books, actually 66 of them, right? But I don't want it just to remain back there somewhere dusty. Now, just to bring in the last verse, it's 2 Corinthians 3 that I was referring to. It's verse 18. And by the way, some fascinating chapters there in 2 Corinthians, right around chapter 3 to chapter 5. A lot of rich stuff in there, really worth reading. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3 that we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image. We're becoming a reflection of Jesus Christ, more and more, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And those are very important words, by the way, the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, this book, large print and all, this is a very powerful book. But in the wrong hands, it can be used for some very wicked things if we read it without the Spirit of God. I was reading a story, Billy Graham, the great evangelist Billy Graham. This is back in the 1950s, early 1950s. And he was preaching down in the deep south, down in Alabama, someplace like that. And so he went into the auditorium to have a look at what was going on there. And he saw all the barricades that were put up, right? Here's the place where the whites can sit. Here's the place for the coloreds. And Billy Graham saw that and he said to the usher, he said, would you mind taking those down? And the usher said, no, we don't take those down. So Billy Graham, who was in his 30s at the time, right? He just comes and tears down all the barricades. He says, I'm not going to preach in a segregated crowd. This is 1954 or something like that. He said, if you want me to preach, you got to let everybody in. Well, the local ministerial, they did want him to preach. In fact, he was bringing more people to Jesus than they ever were. And I remember seeing it in a book one day. They put an ad in the local newspaper. This was the Montgomery, Alabama, someplace like that, the ministerial down there. They said something to the effect of, we respect Mr. Graham's ministry. We welcome his team to our city. But here are the 7 reasons why we believe the Bible teaches segregation. And they had a list, chapter and verse, for every reason. The Bible doesn't support segregation based on somebody's skin color, somebody's race. It didn't support slavery either, by the way, but some Christian people would have said so. Now, here in Canada, and I don't let me ruin your Canada Day, all right? Because the leader of the Conservative Party said, we're not canceling Canada Day. And I'm thinking, well, no, of course not. There's lots of great things about this country. But as the Prime Minister said, and I have to agree with him, he said, this year, though, we need to be more reflective as we think about Canada, don't we? With the revelations that have come regarding our Indigenous peoples and basically the injustices that were carried out on them. I believe a day of reckoning is coming here in Canada. Now, I should have brought it with me. I saw it today online. But the chief from that area where they discovered those 700 more unnamed graves, he was very gracious in saying that, hey, listen, you people, you weren't there. You didn't start the residential school system. You didn't start the 60s scoop. But we all have bear a responsibility to, where's Canada going to go to move forward? We want to celebrate this as one of the greatest countries in the entire world. As Christians, we want to say, Lord, keep our land glorious and free. But, you know, I was thinking as believers, Now, in the Bible, words like truth and reconciliation, they mean some different things for us, right? We recognize Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, so we try to follow him. And we are called in the scriptures to be ambassadors for Christ. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Of course, reconciling people to God. But as we think about truth and reconciliation, those should be two words that describe the followers of Jesus, because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. So as we move forward, because the country's got to move forward right now, I mean, I don't know, I'm assuming you're like me. You're not rocks. You've got hearts. Like, this is, feels like so weird. I feel so bad. And yet, I have hope that we can move forward. And as we do, you and I need to wonder, what's our place? What's our place as ambassadors of the Son of God? How are we to truly bring Jesus into Canada in ways that maybe haven't been brought before? I mentioned this maybe a few Sundays back, but I mean, I grew up in the 1960s. I know what living in a pseudo-Christian country has done to the health of the church, right? I think God is preparing a huge revival. I really believe it. I think he's, I don't want to say he's cleaning house. I heard somebody mention that one time too, right? They said, hey, if God decides to destroy everything evil at midnight tonight, everything with evil in it will be destroyed at midnight tonight. Who's going to be around at 1 o'clock in the morning? Not me. Right? So we all bear, we're sin bearers, but we're also bearers of the light. And I just think, you know, when we think of COVID-19 and the difficulty that it's been, God doesn't cause these things, but he allows them. Why? I think he's calling on his children. You got friends you're not even talking to, right? Arguing over the vaccine or wearing a mask. No, he's saying, no, I want my people together. Father, as you and I are one, I want them to be one too. I think we have a lot of humility to embrace as time goes on here in Canada. And as we look forward to getting back to, I hope never normal. I hope something much better than normal. The transformation that we all need as we encounter these pages of scripture, and again, I say on a daily basis, I got to stress that. Don't let a day go by without reading at least something, a few verses, right? Make sure you read something every day, every day. That transformation, it can only happen when we read this book in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. He lives in these pages. He makes these pages alive. Just as that ministerial back in Billy Graham's time, they found all kinds of things they could use to justify terrible things. The Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. This book becomes something living, not a dead letter of the law, but like seed planted in the ground, begins to sprout and grow. So the words in this book will help you in your own spiritual growth. They will change you, right? With the Spirit's help, producing a righteousness by degree, measure upon measure, little tiny measures upon measure, if I think about it, but a righteousness that God desires for every one of his children. So approach the word with the desire to obey what you read here. None of us does this perfectly, so don't beat yourself up about this, but make a determined habit to not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. Okay, I'm not going to take too much longer. I want to get a little bit into the meat of the sandwich this morning, okay? That's the meat. I want to get into the bread now. Let's examine the two slices of bread. James is really talking about what spending time in the Bible is supposed to produce in those who do it. I've met people who have spent so much time in the Bible, they know it backwards and forwards, but they're just not very kind people. They don't know the God of the Bible as much as they want to say they do. I'm so often reminded, right? We think of those words from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, things like love and joy and peace and patience, gentleness. You know, the Spirit is having his way with you when you are becoming more and more a person who is quick to listen and slow to speak. I know it's not, it doesn't always happen. I mean, lately I found myself, I know I want to say something. Oh, I want to say something, but right now might not be the best time. No, maybe this is the time to bite my tongue. I've been telling myself more and more this past year, especially, Pat, you don't need to argue, especially with people whose minds are already made up. And above all, you don't need to win. You don't have to win every argument. If you've been online these past 15 or 16 months, right, you'll have no doubt you've seen the importance of people who model that kind of a life. That kind of a life. Our world is our world's in such need of people who are quick to listen and slow to speak. The church is in need of people like that right now, today as well. So many willing to express their opinions, no regard for anybody else's, right? Now, no longer do we recognize differences, like in the political world, for instance, right? You're either on the left or you're on the right. And yeah, we recognize, okay, fine. There's differences. We don't look at each other as enemies, right? Well, that's how it used to be. Today, you don't agree with me? Well, you're not only wrong, you're evil. Yeah, and your voice must not be heard. We must cancel you out of our culture. No, the righteousness that God desires, it comes from people who will listen to what that other person is saying. You know, often not just their words, but sometimes you have to read between the lines. Recognizing that often people lash out in angry and hurtful ways because they've been hurt. They're hurting. Maybe they've had nobody in their life who'll listen to them, so they just got to speak louder. When we do all the talking, we will certainly communicate something. But what we communicate to that other person when we do all the talking without listening, we communicate that your ideas just aren't as important as mine. Your opinions don't matter. Well, let's face it, you don't matter. So let you and I strive to be the sensible ones in all the volatility that seems to be going all around us these past number of months. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Okay, I get paid to speak, so I'm almost done. But quick to listen, slow to speak. Somebody has said, it's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right? You've heard that, eh? And there is a reason why God gave us one mouth and two ears. One mouth and two ears. All the more better to hear you with, my dear. How many times have we been involved in maybe that worst of offenses against God? I'm talking about church fights. You ever been in a church fight? Wow, these days, so many brothers and sisters in Christ, we're at odds with each other. And so often, it's just a result of short tempers, angry words, and then, man, you can't take it back, can you? It's a sign of the times we're living in. I read a post on Facebook last week from Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And some of us were doing those Bible studies a while, maybe a few years ago now. But his message was called Looking into the Future. And he said, we don't need a crystal ball to look into the future. He cited some examples from God's word. And one of the things he pointed out was that Jesus said before he comes again, right? He talked about wars and rumors of wars. He mentioned famines and earthquakes. But he also mentioned false prophets deceiving people. This is why you got to be in the word, because you got to make sure I'm telling you the truth. He mentioned the persecution of believers. And as all these things happen, as a result, Jesus said that even believers' love, the love that believers would have towards one another, would grow cold. We are growing cold. Let's not let that be the case among us. As we sang, light the fire again. Hey, warm your heart, warm yourself by the fire of the Word of God and read it with the Spirit of God. Well, listen, I'll tell you. Well, maybe I'll just share a couple more really quick things. Really quick things. Is it raining yet? But not only our beliefs, and James mentions it here as religion, right? It shouldn't just affect our speech. It's got to affect our actions. I've shocked my non-Christian friends every now and again, you know. Yeah, they find out that I'm, you know, been on the radio or I'm here now at Generations Church, and they say, oh boy, you must be very religious then. My Newfoundland neighbor across the road, George. Oh, you're a man of God, boy. You're a man of God. And I said, no, you know what? I'm probably the least religious person you know. Following Jesus, you've heard this before. It's less about having a religion. It's more about having a living relationship with God himself. And it must make a difference in how we live. The only kind of religion you and I should be interested in, it's what James says in verse 26 and 27. Again, keeping a tight rein on your tongues. Work on that. I'm working on it. Quick to listen, slow to speak. And as he says, religion that is worthwhile, that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In the first century, the most vulnerable people of all were widows and orphans. No government-run safety nets, no help of any kind. Who are the vulnerable ones today in your circles of influence that God wants you to minister to? I know we're a small church, although Kevin mentioned it, and I'm just as thrilled to death that we've got so many people here. This is absolutely amazing. We could barely fit you all inside. I am so thrilled, but we're a small congregation. I was actually having lunch with Brent Kipfer from where's he at? He's at Mapleview Mennonite Church, and he's kind of in charge of the ministerial that I'm planning on joining, right? The local ministerial here. So we were chatting. We had a fascinating conversation. He is a great guy, by the way. So if you don't like it here today, go to Mapleview Mennonite. You'll love it. And I said, you know, we're small, but we definitely want to keep, well, things like being a regular contributor to the local food cupboard in Wellesleyan area. We contribute to that. We want to continue that. And the leadership team, we were meeting last week and we were talking about, yeah, we want to make sure Generation is a supporter of missions. That's important for churches. We want to be more targeted, more deliberate in that. It's going to be small, but hey, in your small circles of influence, as individuals, not just as congregations, as you continue seeking God and asking how you personally, how can I be a doer of the words that I read here, not just a hearer, right? Who do I send a text to just to say hello? Who do I try to encourage? What can I do to pray for somebody? How do I care for the powerless and the vulnerable? God is looking for his children to help those who cannot help themselves. Some of you folks who are older like me, right? You remember, you used to hear that, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. He helps those who can't. Now, that's not socialism. That is Jesus-ism. That's the way he wants us to live. That's Jesus' way. How does he want you to serve others? Made in his image. And you know, may we all become better at what the Holy Spirit wants to do, even with nuts like us, what he wants to do with us here at Generations Church and in your own circles, and as you strive to be more like him. Can I pray for you? Lord, I just want to come today and thank you. Thank you so much for everybody here. Lord, we are here because we have a desire to be better. We have a desire to change. We have a desire to know our Creator. And Father, through the pages of this word, through the Holy Spirit that ministers in this word, help us to be ministers in the world, Lord. I just ask that. I just thank you for this day. We give you praise and glory. Thank you that it's still dry. And Lord, we just ask for your blessing too on our time of fellowship later on as well. Bless the food. And Father, I just give you praise. We give you praise and thanksgiving. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you.